The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Party. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. We are streaming live and chatting at KCNR1460.com. This is a pre-recorded show, so calling in won't do you any good, but we're glad you're listening. We hope you have a wonderful Mother's Day, and we welcome all. If you want to find out more about the Reading Tea Party and We the People radio show, go to readingteaparty.com and click on the radio link. Robert does an awesome job with our media page, and you can find out all about our archived shows, upcoming shows, and all things about our sponsors. And we've got Chandler, our sound engineer, today.
Chandler, back from the beginning of our program.
Yeah, and good to see you guys. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. And Aaron and Elizabeth, good morning, everybody.
So we're up here with Rosa Corey this morning. We are talking to her. She is the executive director of the Post Sustainability Institute. And I'm only going to give you the first sentence of her bio just because I think it's interesting. She is a forensic commercial real estate appraiser specializing in eminent domain valuation. Now, I don't think anybody probably knows anybody who does that. So, Rosa, we're going to let you tell us what that means.
Good morning, Rosa. Thanks for joining
You'll
us.
You'll have to decode that for us.
Good morning. I'm glad to be with you. What I do, I'm a commercial real estate appraiser. I mainly appraise large properties, shopping centers, office buildings. I appraise the Bay Bridge, for instance. I've been doing that for 30 years, and mainly I work for government agencies working on property that is needed for roads or for large projects that benefit the community. And I've been doing it for about 30 years, and my expertise is in litigation support. I do expert witness testimony, and for that I need to research. And so what I like to say when I'm talking to people about United Nations Agenda 21 and sustainable development is that in my business, if I can't prove it, I don't say it. So if I don't have proof and documentation for what I'm saying, I don't say it. And that's what I do for a living. I testify, and I have to have support for everything that I say in terms of valuation of property. So for eminent domain valuation, what we're looking at is taking property from private individuals and using it for public service projects. But I became involved in 2005. I was elected to a Citizens Oversight Committee for a 1,300-acre redevelopment project in Santa Rosa, California.
Wow.
And it's huge. About 10,000 people live and work in that area. And I owned some property in the area, and some people in the community came to me and said, hey, would you like to run for an election to this committee so that, you know, because we'd like to have someone on that committee from our area who is knowledgeable about these issues. So I was elected, and while I was researching the project, I realized that the documentation for it was fraudulent.
Oh, and what was the project going to be?
That's one of the things. It's a huge area, right? It's several miles. It goes through the center of Santa Rosa on both sides of Highway 101, and there was no project. They had all of this area that they were declaring blighted, but they weren't telling any of the people on the project committee what they intended to do with that area. And so that was my first concern was that we had no idea what their intent was. And then when I looked into the documentation, and my partner assisted me with this, her name is Kay Tokerud, and she's a general contractor. So we worked together on this. We got all the books and the documentation, which, by the way, the city made us buy. We had to pay for it. They didn't just give it to me because I was on the committee. And I also saw that they were withholding information from this citizens committee. When I read the documentation, I saw that it was fraudulent. And at first I went to the city and I said, hey, did you know this is full of tremendous errors? And that's when they started trying to get me off of the committee.
Now, Rosa, and I'm sorry to interrupt. When you speak of they, I'm assuming that's city government.
Yes.
Okay. And was that Planning Commission, Redevelopment Agency?
City Council.
City Council.
Yes, to all of the above.
Okay, and the reason I ask is we focus on that type of thing in our local community, too. So for those that live in Reading, listen carefully. Thank you.
We're also always trying to help people plug in. You know, people look around and they say, well, I don't like what the government's doing. I don't like how my taxes are being spent. But people don't understand how government works. So we always encourage people to go to public meetings. So along the way, we have to explain what all the pieces of the puzzle are. Like here in our town, the city council is
they're the board of directors of the redevelopment agency.
Mm-hmm.
Is that yours too?
That's very common. No, in this particular city, it's not like that. But in most cities, it is that your city council or your board of supervisors, if you're in a county, will be your redevelopment agency as well.
So you had worked with these guys a bunch then, if you're doing all these kinds of projects.
That's right. I spent a lot of time. Of course, I spent a lot of time in government offices interviewing people.
Sure.
And but I do have to say, in spite of my expertise and all of the years that I had done valuation in all 9 counties of the San Francisco Bay Area, I still did not have a very clear understanding of the funding mechanism for redevelopment or what the impacts of redevelopment have on your general plan. And the reason I want to talk about that, and, you know, people kind of glaze over, they think it's kind of boring or something. It's not at all boring. It's pretty important because your property taxes, when you write that check out twice a year to your county government, a large percentage of that property tax goes not to your roads, not to your hospitals, not to your prisons, not to your schools. It goes to the redevelopment agency.
Why?
And that redevelopment agency money is not accessible to your general fund. So in other words, if you're in a town where a large percentage of it has been declared blighted and is within a redevelopment area, and that is nearly every city and county in California and across the nation, if you're in one of those areas, your property tax dollars are not going to maintain services. And so your general funds don't have enough money to pay for your parks, to keep your streetlights on, to pay the pensions for your government agent, for your government employees. So what you're seeing now with a contraction of the economy is the result of having to pay the huge debt because redevelopment agencies operate on a huge debt. They are the only government agency that can get a bond without your vote.
Amen.
And you are responsible for paying that bond off for the next 30 to 45 years.
And how do you even know that they're doing it?
Well, you don't. See? They hold public hearings, but I'll tell you, after having gone through one of these experiences, I can see that. I think I'm preaching to the converted when I say that it sure seems as if your government is your enemy at this point and not there to assist you, and that is especially true with redevelopment agencies. And I was elected right after the Kelo decision, the Supreme Court decision in 2005, that said that you don't even have to find blight in a community, and that itself is a farce. They can find blight in Beverly Hills.
What is blight? I mean, for real, what's it supposed to be?
Yeah, what it is it's actually under your health and safety code, and there are 4 categories of blight, and, you know, I'm not going to go into it, but basically it's economic and physical. And so one example, I'll just give you a brief example. If you have a community where there are tons of vacant lots everywhere and no one is building anything, that indicates to your community that no one will invest in that area unless they're given financial incentives by your government. And that's why you create a redevelopment agency, so they can take some of your property tax dollars and give them to a developer and say, hey, you know, why don't you put something here that'll generate some business?
So like all things, it's like this great idea, that has sort of gone amiss. And, okay, hold that thought.
Sure.
We'll come right back on that in the next segment. We need to take a short break. Thank our advertisers. You're listening to We the People on KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Something new for all gun owners and sportsmen. All-Temp Tactical Lube. It's like nothing you've ever used before. It works on all firearms, pistols, rifles, antique weapons, you name it. Reduces friction, carbon buildup, prevents rust. The first true leap forward in the evolution of firearm care. All-Temp Tactical Lube actually goes into the pores of the metal. Check us out on the web, alltemptacticallube.com. 1-800-301-0046. 1-800-301-0046.
I hear people talking bad about the way.
Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. We're streaming live and chatting at KCNR 1460 AM, but go to readingteaparty.com and click on the radio link. And we are here with Rosa, who is telling us all things redevelopment, blight, and shady goings on.
Oh yeah, we're working our way
government
up to the evil agenda 21 again. So for all those folks that don't know what that is, when you clicked on readingteaparty.com, click on the issues tab, it'll drop down and it'll show you a whole tab on agenda 21 and ICLEI and a bunch of other stuff. So you'll have to do some homework later, but for now just roll with us. Okay, Rosa, go on about blight.
Great. That's one of my favorite topics, because you really don't see much blight anymore, although you might see, you might see places that need to be painted, et cetera. But what you're talking about with blight is enormous systemic blight that you might have seen in your central cities in the 1960s, 70s, where you just see, for instance, Cabrini Green or something, where you're just going to see building after building with broken windows and no investment. But you're not seeing that, right, in most of our towns, although now it's pretty bad. But I'm talking about before, when we were in a pretty fat era of investment, what you were seeing was that people were putting their own money into these areas. They were investing. People, mom and pop stores were investing. But see, mom and pop is the enemy of redevelopment.
Mm.
What they're looking for are large national chains to pay high taxes, taxes, to generate large sales taxes for these communities. And so it is in the interest of communities who want to hold on to their sales tax and want to hold on to whatever portion of property taxes that they can get. They want to hold that. And so they take large areas of their communities and they find these companies that will come in, and for a fee, they'll find blight anywhere. And that's what happened in Santa Rosa. They found blight, even though there was no support for it, and I proved it. And the city was so upset that they didn't want me elected in the first place. They tried to block my election because they didn't want anyone who was knowledgeable about eminent domain and redevelopment on that committee. But I was elected, and in fact, I was so effective that they actually dropped my section of the community out of the redevelopment area to remove me.
That was your that was your personal property.
Yeah, I own some. No, they didn't just drop out my personal property. They dropped out 235 acres because they wanted me completely out. They thought that by removing my entire section of this 1,300 acres of a redevelopment area, they thought if they took out that 235 acres, I'd go away.
And you
but
didn't.
They were wrong. I didn't go away.
That's why this is such a good story.
I know, it's great.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, it was pretty tough living through it. Like I say, I fell into the snake pit, and we started at the tail. And it took us a while to get to the head.
Wow.
So what we did was we started a business and property owners association, and we formed a nonprofit organization. And I went out and did a dog and pony show, and I raised about $500,000 in donations and in pro bono legal work to sue the city of Santa Rosa to stop the redevelopment project. Because, in fact, the committee that I had been on did vote down the project. It was one of the only times that's ever happened, probably in the United States. But the city council ignored that and passed the ordinance and created the project area anyway. And the only thing we could do then was sue. And so we did hire a law firm. Kay and I did a lot of the legwork ourselves, along with other people in our organization. And we did sue. We lost in Superior Court, but the court did determine that we had exhausted our administrative remedies, which meant we could move up to the next level. And we did that. We moved up to the appellate level, and we lost there. The thing is, you don't want to, you want to fight these things before you get anywhere near the courts, because your chances of winning in a court are very low, and especially now that our Supreme Court has decided that there doesn't really have to be any justification for taking property and giving it to someone else if the government agency thinks that they're going to make some more property tax or some more sales tax from that new property owner. So what you're seeing here is an example of a community that really got together and fought. And through that fight, what I discovered was that the source, the heart of redevelopment is really Agenda 21. United Nations Agenda 21 is funded locally by redevelopment dollars, your property tax dollars. And that's a really important thing for people to know.
Now, Kay, even though you lost at both levels of the courts...
Rosa.
I'm sorry.
Kay was in court.
I'm sorry. This is to Rosa and Kay. Even though
that's right.
Even though
we're a good team.
Yes. And even though you both lost at two levels, you were able to put this project off. I mean, you were able to continue
It was delayed for 3 years, and that was the 3 years that the economy began to slide and crash. And so because of that, they were not able. And, you know, the town should thank us, because they would have holes all over the city where they had started building things and would have, you know, they would have just died. Like, you know, for instance, the city of Oakland, California, which had a huge redevelopment project, while Jerry Brown was mayor, and all those projects died. And that's, you know, I was thinking, well, Governor Brown is well aware of the pitfalls of redevelopment, because a lot of these projects are ill-founded. The concept of smart growth, which is an element of redevelopment and of Agenda 21, is that you're going to have... your whole center of your city is going to be predicated on the idea that you're going to be able to walk to everything, which means that you have to have high-density residential with ground-floor retail. That ground-floor retail cannot be supported by residential. It's just, there's just not enough residential for it. So you have all these vacant buildings, and in fact, you create your own blight. This is what these cities are doing. They're creating future blight. They're using your property tax dollars, indebting you for 30 to 45 years, and creating future blight.
And what would be a really good example of one where they put the housing above the stores? Because they're talking about doing that here.
They are.
Actually, probably right near the building where we're sitting.
Yeah.
Where's the best example of that down the road to see the failed concept?
Well, you can look all over the United States. For instance, I'll give you an example right here in Santa Rosa, which is a town of about 170,000. We're about 1 hour north of San Francisco. A town of 170,000, there's a limit to how much small retail you can support. So you'll have ground floor retail with two to three stories of residential above that. That has gone bankrupt all over town here. First, you had the ground floor retail was never occupied, and then much of the residential was not occupied either. And that's called mixed use. And what happened here and everywhere is that the American Planning Association was given a $1 million grant by the President's Council on Sustainable Development in 1993. That was a direct outgrowth of United Nations Agenda 21. And the American Planning Association created this new concept that was going to revolutionize every city and every hamlet and every county in the United States and make it mandatory that all zoning in those areas was changed to mixed use. And that means that now wherever you're sitting, if you look at your central town, you're going to see some of this, and it's going to, a lot of it is going to be vacant. And what happens when you have vacancies like that is you have more crime, you have people who invest in those areas and then lose everything, and you have people in residential who are packed tightly into residential units who can't, you know, they can't socially sustain that. That isn't sustainable. So in your town, I'm sure that you can find examples of failures of that. In this town, there's so much failure. There's whole streets full of it that's sitting vacant and weeds growing up and no one living there.
Now, Rosa, do you have, are there photos anywhere of some of these areas in Santa Rosa that would be available? It would be really nice to actually have a visual to kind of back up what we're trying to...
See, we don't have... The first place I started to see those pop up was over in Walnut Creek by my mom's house, right by the BART station. I always call them the rabbit hutches. You got the rabbit hutches over the little stores right there by the rail, you know? And you get parking for, you know, one little Prius. You got a little tiny Prius parking, and then that's it. I guess your other car you keep in your back pocket somewhere.
Right. So, you're not supposed to have another car.
That's right. Everybody in the house has to drive in the same little Prius. So so you look at this thing, and you can obviously see what they're trying to do, but their stores are vacant there, too.
Sure. Well, it's not, you know, I mean, I can easily post some photographs of this, and I'd be happy to on one of my websites. I'll probably put it on postsustainabilityinstitute.org.
And that's on the website for people that are going, I don't have a pen.
Yeah, that'll be on our website.
It's right on the page right there. Don't panic.
Well, a lot of it looks nice, you know, and it better look nice because you're paying for it for 30 years. So I hope it's going to look nice when you have those light standards and the stamped concrete and your downtown looks kind of cute now. How's it going to look in 45 years when, you know, because you're going to be paying for it for that entire period of time. And, you know, the goal is to get you out of your car, to put you in an area where you can be watched, where you can be monitored, where you're part of a condo association so you can't paint your place without someone telling you it's okay, or you can't rent your unit without someone's approval. And part of how all of this is developed, and this is what, you know, I found out about all of this through being shocked at seeing that people that I expected and organizations that I expected to make common cause with, and I am a Democrat. I have voted Democrat for over 30 years. I'm a liberal identified person, lesbian, pro-choice, anti-war. And, you know, and that's the people that I'm making common cause with at this point are generally people in Tea Parties, Republican people, people who are aware and are not afraid to ask questions about what they're seeing. And one of the things that shocked me when I first became aware of this was that other Democrats were not involved and, in fact, were attacking me personally. And we had some tremendous shocks at seeing how many people were really out to get us, literally, including our newspapers, written articles with photographs of me deliberately attacking me personally for these issues.
And how supportive.
Yeah.
We have to take a quick break. So on that note, people can grab a cup of coffee. You've got 2 minutes to do it. You're listening to We the People on KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Something new for all gun owners and sportsmen. All Temp Tactical Lube. It's like nothing you've ever used before. It works on all firearms, pistols, rifles, and antique weapons. It reduces friction, carbon buildup, and prevents rust. A true leap forward in the evolution of firearms care. All Temp Tactical Lube actually goes into the pores of the metal. Check us out on the web, alltemptacticallube.com. 1-800-301-0046. 800-301-0046.
Woke up this morning. Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. We're at KCNR 1460. If you want to chat or stream live, go to readingteaparty.com, click on the radio link, and you'll find everything about our speaker today,
previous shows, future shows, all the information about our sponsors, everything you need to know, all the links to websites that are mentioned on today's show. It's all inclusive. It's all right there.
And you're going to want to keep this one in your hopper and
yeah,
send
this,
this program to other folks when it comes out on the archive, because something that people need to know about. Okay, so you just dropped the bombshell. We're not a bunch of Republican only haters.
Yeah,
because well, we know you, you know, and we think you're really smart. So
great. Well, I you know this is I've been called a this is pretty funny. I've been called an Ayn Randian hater. And
wow.
I've been called homophobic myself by people who didn't know that I'm a lesbian.
And, you're all you know, nice try.
It's like, okay, give it another shot, why don't you?
Well, hey, and, can you come over?
Hey, honey.
And, that must
you know,
be kind of fun.
Thing,
yeah.
The thing that's really, this name-calling thing,
yeah.
You know, I mean, you know this from high school debating. When they get into the name-calling, you know they've really hit bottom. Because
absolutely.
If they're not able to attack you on your facts, and they go after you, you know, they don't like my hair color or whatever.
Yeah, right, straight to the weeds.
Right, and this is the thing, you know, what I'd mentioned before is that I do have 30 years as a litigation support person. I do expert witness testimony and in property land use issues. And so I'm not, you know, I'm not about to say anything that I can't support and prove with plenty of documentation. And I think that this is something else that really concerns people who are supporting United Nations Agenda 21, because they are purposely hiding the source and they are purposely hiding the information. And it seems stunning because obviously if you can, you know, if you go on the web and you put it into your search engine, you're going to get something like 58,000 hits on it. It's not a secret. But I'm being accused of being a conspiracy theorist or something.
Yeah.
And it, what I've been told, I have a friend on the Democratic Central Committee here in Sonoma County who's told me that the Democratic Central Committee has been taken over, that environmental groups have been taken over. For instance, the Sierra Club went through a huge shakeup about 15 or 18 years ago, tremendous. Civil rights groups are being taken over, and we're seeing appeals to extremists. One thing I've seen here is Sonoma County Bicycle Coalition, for instance, is the handmaiden of redevelopment, which, as I've demonstrated, is the funding arm, one of the funding arms for United Nations Agenda 21.
Yeah, normally bike trails would be a good thing. Now you really have to wonder
now
why.
You're like, be careful. Hey, just to just a factual, just to get some facts in here, actually, I just Googled UN Agenda 21. I get 2,350,000 results.
Oh, right.
So there should be enough material there for people to check.
If you put sustainable development in, because that's the other name for it. Because United Nations Agenda 21, you know, it sounds sort of like Area 51 or something like that. People think you're kind of
oh, well, you get 19 million results on sustainable development.
There you go. Okay.
19 million even. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us again how you were treated by the members of your own party.
Yeah, tell us about that part again. That's a good
all right.
Yeah,
that's
we like
good
that.
Stuff. Well, you know, this is life has been pretty tough. I have to say, we definitely did fall into the snake pit, and I had expected to, you know, to just actually, I'd never encountered so much hostility in my life until I got involved with the, with all of this. And my intent was just to provide information for people, and I thought that they would, you know, take that information like adults and make changes in their behavior, because, you know, these things are obviously unconstitutional. They go against our form of government, and we can't support that. But instead, I was seeing people, for instance, people on the Democratic Central Committee who were making a tremendous effort to discredit me in the community and using the local newspaper as a method to attack me personally, shame me. This is an element that's used by communitarianism, and that's the overarching sort of philosophy, the social philosophy that goes behind all of this is communitarianism, which says that the individual's rights are less important than or below or subsumed into the rights of the community. And there is no right of the community in the United States. We're based on individual rights. So when you find that someone on the Democratic Central Committee is attacking you for supporting individual rights and property rights, it's almost like you've gone through Alice in Wonderland's looking glass to the other side. And so that was my experience. Unfortunately, I had to report someone who was running for the Assembly District 7 here, who is a Democrat. I am a Democrat. He was taking money. He was being paid by the water agency to influence the city of Santa Rosa while he was on the Planning Commission. And I reported that to the FPPC, and he was caught, busted, and fined. And you would have thought that the sky had fallen. I was attacked by the unions, by civil rights groups, by the Democratic Central Committee, people on that committee, not officially by the committee. Daryl Steinberg didn't respond, the Senator, Senate Pro Tem. And I was extremely disappointed. I have to say I'm tremendously disappointed in my government and in people that I would expect to want to support the best possible government that we can have.
Sure, you would think that they'd be in it for the facts, and based on factual information, they would then make good decisions. And there you were with all this information that they didn't want to hear because it was super inconvenient. So before we kind of go beyond or around, I guess, the redevelopment idea, there are a lot of people involved in redevelopment money that don't have a clue about Agenda 21.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know there are.
They're following following orders or patterns.
No,
or
they think that's the way to get things done. They think that's the way to benefit their community.
But they don't know what's behind it. That's,
right.
Yeah.
I look at, like, our city council, you know, fought hard for redevelopment funds. I don't think that they get what it's all about.
No, it's ignorance. It's ignorance, Aaron, and that's this really sad thing. There was actually some fabulous, if people are C-SPAN watchers, you know, I really encourage people, if you can't actively participate, to definitely watch your government in action on C-SPAN or on your local public television station when your meetings are happening. Familiarize yourself with the way your government is run and who the parties are, the players. But there was the hearing. Governor Brown called that hearing, the hearings recently on redevelopment, because he was talking about, he was trying to pressure certain senators into passing the budget, and they were talking about abolishing redevelopment. And there were people, yes, from your area going down to those hearings and saying, hey, we want our redevelopment dollars. And in fact, those people are, I'm sad to say that they are very greatly misled. They don't understand that those dollars that are being, were actually taken away from your state and your county. Those your property tax dollars are parsed out between your local agencies, your county agency, and your state. And so what redevelopment money, what happens with redevelopment money is that it's all taken away from the county and the state, so that when you have to pay higher assessments for your education, you know, you've got an education bond you've got to pay off. Well, why are you paying off an education bond? It's because that money that should be going to the state and county or wherever it's supposed to go to pay for your local schools is instead going to the redevelopment agency and can only be used for redevelopment projects. It cannot be used for your general fund. So the state was not taking money away from your community. The state was trying to reestablish that income stream that is supposed to go to the state and was being diverted into the redevelopment agency.
Sure, they take it in, give it a new name, send it back, and earmark it so that you can't do the things you need to do. So if they would have abolished the redevelopment agencies, if in fact those were gone, then that property tax money would have gone where it was supposed to go.
That's right. And then you would be able to fund your, you know, your education dollar would go from your community. You wouldn't have to pay on top of that. They always say, oh, you know, redevelopment money doesn't cost you anything. But it does, because if I take money away from one of your pockets and make you replenish it somewhere else, you're paying a tax.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if they don't call it a tax.
Now,
and what we're, go ahead.
Sorry. So, with redevelopment funds, you know, Jerry Brown wanted to kind of abolish that whole thing, and that you said did not happen. Who was behind that, would you say?
Well, I think it was, it was political. It was a manipulation. I doubt that Brown thought he was actually really going to end redevelopment. California redevelopment lobby is tremendously powerful, has a huge amount of money, and I don't see that, you know, I would have been stunned. I never expected it to really happen, mm-hmm. and I wasn't surprised that it didn't. So, I don't know who was responsible for not actually, you know, making the final vote, but
yeah.
I think it was a manipulation, it was a political move, and I didn't expect it to go anywhere.
So you think redevelopment will just go? I mean it's kind of like money laundering, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're mm-hmm. slurping it out of the property taxes, and then sending it back with a new face on it that we have to go beg for. Tell me
the real deal. You know, the real deal, Aaron, is that it's a way to funnel money into your crony developers in your community. Because what happens is certain pieces of land get built on, whether they get a mall on them, where the guy got the land for free from your council, from your redevelopment agency, handed that land, those acres, to some developer for free, or he might have gotten a big loan that he doesn't have to pay off, doesn't have to start paying off for 30 years, or they won't have to pay any property tax. For instance, all of that low-income housing, and that's another thing that's getting built. A lot of low-income housing is getting built, and it's actually, you talk about a fair playing field, a level playing field. These are people who are getting land from your government, building buildings where it's costing like $300,000 and $400,000 per unit right now for an apartment that's a low-income apartment, and then they don't pay property tax. A low-income apartment building does not pay any property tax at all.
Wow, ever. That's a sweet deal.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that
so
is
no
fantastic.
Property tax, but they're draining your general fund dollars because they require probably more police and fire, school. They need schools. They need hospitals.
Sure.
And, you know, something else that's happening with your money, you know, you wonder what's happening when all that money gets diverted into redevelopment funds. What's happening is that you just found out now that, for instance, here in Sonoma County, we have 1,300 miles of county roads, and the county has just announced that they will only be paving 150 miles of those county roads in the future because they do not have the money, they say, to pave those county roads.
Wow.
UN Agenda 21 is moving you off of your rural lands and into the cities.
And getting
rid
of our
roads. Your cities, glutting your cities with high-density residential development and moving you out of your rural areas. This is part of the plan, and it's following right on schedule.
Wow. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Need to take a break here. Thank our advertisers. You're listening to Rosa Corey from the Post Sustainability Institute here on KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
If you have a vehicle, a boat, or even a plane that needs to be transported, you need Miller Auto Transport. In the auto business for over 40 years, we take pride in the efficiency, the professionalism, and the safety of our transport teams. Unmatched by any other auto transport or carrier company in the nation, we transport to all 50 states and overseas. To find out more or to get a quote, visit our website at MillerAutoTransport.com. If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
Don't let them kick your neighbor off his land.
Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. Happy Mother's Day. We are streaming live at KCNR 1460. You can go to that link by going to readingteaparty.com and click on radio, and you will find all things that you need to know about our speaker today. Now, Rosa, before we left, we were talking off air a little bit, and you wanted to pull away from redevelopment a little bit and talk about your website, Democrats Against UN Agenda 21. I really like that website. It's just stock full of information.
Thank you. Yeah, we've put a lot of energy into that website. We want to make sure that people have all the information that they need and good source information as well, so that they can educate themselves and educate their friends, their family, their neighbors, and become part of it is just becoming aware when you see it, because there's not going to be a flashing light on it that says, hey, this is UN Agenda 21 Sustainable Development. You're going to have to look between the lines and maybe notice that for instance, when someone, you know, when you're seeing new laws and new regulations, know that three of the elements of United Nations Agenda 21, the three elements of it are the economy, the ecology, and social equity. So, for instance, with social equity, you're going to see that more and more things are becoming crimes, like obesity, smoking, drinking when you have a drinking problem, name-calling,
yeah,
leaving
bullying.
Your lights on.
Yeah, bullying, you know? Is big now in all the...
bullying
that's
a great
one. Huge one.
And, you know, you can be... I told you I'm lesbian, right? I don't want to be, you know, have anyone attack me or anything like that, obviously. I'm an American, and I have as much right to, you know, what I'm... my personal life as
anyone.
Yeah,
it's your business.
Sure, but and what you're seeing, though, is children, you know, children are ignorant, and that's what we do. We want to train our children, educate them. But people are being found guilty of misdemeanors, and in some cases of felonies, and have these things follow them for the rest of their lives because they, you know, might have called a kid a queer or something. And this is part of
which we were all doing years ago. I mean, that was like, I don't know. I mean, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and I mean, kids call other kids names all the time.
Sure.
They call them stuff they have no clue what it means.
Yeah, you want to teach them not to. I mean, hey, years ago, I would have, you know, people would have thought it was okay to kill me. You know, this, I mean, we've moved forward a lot, and it's a good thing. But, you know, what you don't want to have are what's happening now, of course, is that more and more things there are more and more laws and more opportunities to break those laws. Besides land use regulations, you know, where you've got regulatory takings all the time, and, you know, I shouldn't talk about that, but I will because, you know, now there are laws that say if there's any value left in your property at all, the government agency that takes your rights away doesn't have to compensate you. So, for instance, they can zone you to death and create these, you know, corridors or view sheds or whatever so that you can't do anything with your property. But if you can graze a cow on it, then, okay, we haven't taken your rights away. So even though you can't build a house on it anymore, there's still value. And this is part of communitarianism and UN Agenda 21, because what the point of it is that there's a global community. You are just an individual. Your rights do not come anywhere near close to being as important as the rights of the global community. And so, since all of us are individuals, we are a threat to the global community, and our rights need to be restricted and regulated so that we do not in any way threaten that global community. And who decides what threatens the global community? Well, you've got these different agencies that are making regulations and restrictions and, in fact, are creating a situation where all they want to do is perpetuate themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't produce anything. We're very limited now in our production in the United States because so much of it is regulated, and we have more people working for government and in government than we do on the production side.
Yeah,
and
I think the scales have tipped. The scales have tipped.
Well, we see it. We see it big time, and we've talked about it a lot on this program, especially up in Siskiyou County, where they are just besieged. Department of Fish and Game, Water Quality, Water Quality Board. You have
Coastal Commission.
Well, they're they would be more.
You,
they'd be more over in Del Norte, but these agencies. You know, I had the Water Board. Went up there last week and did these meetings, and they said, well, you know, the cattle are getting manure in the creek. You know, we've got to go do something about that.
Well, that's big one.
But the funny part of that was that's the Scott River was 90% fenced 12 years ago. So there haven't been any cattle anywhere near it. 10% of it isn't fenced, and that's the part that this one environmental guy is always taking pictures and, you know, quote-unquote, turning them in for not having the creek fenced. Mm-hmm. But the owner of that property raises hay. So last time I checked, hay couldn't get manure in a creek. I mean, it's just a complete, you know, it's all made-up stuff. And the worst part is the science of a lot of this stuff. They want to plant willows to shade the water so the water will be cooler. It's like, really? Well, willows use a tremendous amount of water, so by the time you get done...
suck that water out.
Yeah, by the time you get done planting them, there won't be a creek. It just... stuff like that.
It defies logic. It really does.
It does, and that's what's sad. And part of it, you know, the 111 cities and 11 counties in California are members of ICLEI, which is the International Council on Local Environmental Initiatives, Sustainable Development. And that these rules and regulations are sort of a one-size-fits-all thing that comes and is dropped into every single community in the United States. And, you know, something that we just saw here in Point Reyes, which is in Marin County, is that the National Park Service just got majorly busted for, although they were found to not have done any criminal conduct, but they didn't, there was an investigation into whether an oyster farm should be allowed to continue. And the National Park Service was so interested in creating a designated official wilderness that they withheld information that showed that this oyster farm wasn't doing anything wrong. They withheld that information so that they could hopefully, in their minds, declare that area a designated wilderness and get rid of this this oyster farm that's been there for over 100 years. So when you see stuff like that, where don't confuse us with the facts, we've got a goal, a point of view, and a requirement that we're going to make happen. That's part of the United Nations Agenda 21.
Up there in Siskiyou, to just piggyback on that with water, they have they're trying to remove all their dams. They have huge hydropower up there. Tons of hydropower. Hydropower is the cleanest way to create power that we have. And yet they're trying to force them to take out all these dams by feeing and regulating the company that owns them to death, basically telling them they're going to sue them until, you know, I'd say until the cows come home, but I don't know, maybe they'll be driven off first. I'm not really sure.
It's like a race. Cows create methane.
Oh, there's that too.
Animal byproducts are dangerous.
it's amazing, and so you look at it, you go, okay, let's see. You have all these people right now. The farms and everything is operating on hydropower, but one guy from the Department of the Interior actually said, well, you know, we'd rather that you used clean coal. I'm like, oh, I'm sure they'll let them.
Oh boy.
I'm sure they'll let them build a coal plant there. That'll work. it's stupid.
I know these things. Well, you know what? If you know anything about Machiavelli, and by the way, President Bush Jr. Said he read The Prince, Machiavelli's The Prince, every single year, and that may have been the only book he could read, but he did read that. Machiavelli, part of that, you know, when you think of Machiavellian, you know, what you're thinking about is manipulation of communities, you know, by saying one thing and meeting the opposite. And that's what you have, too, with communitarianism and United Nations Agenda 21. Sustainable development. You have your government saying that it's for your own good or for the good of the community, and in fact, it's dismantling your food production, your industrial production, and your ability to move freely through your country.
Sure, because it's jamming up their ability. Well, we see the Forest Service wanting to close miles and miles and miles of road. Oh, we kind of gave you short shrift there on your paving project with your county. I just remembered 10 minutes ago or whatever, before we took our last break, you were talking about mm-hmm. that, the amount of roads they were not going to be able to do.
Oh, right.
That's everywhere. And those are regular county
roads.
Don't
you think that's going to have an impact on your property value if you can't get to your property?
Yeah, sure.
In the rural areas? And how do you think you're going to run your dairy or run your cattle or, you know, run your farm out there when you can't get to it? And you've been told you can't build on it. You can't, you know, people are having to sell off conservation easements because the county's not letting you build another house on it for your kids. And so when you die and your kids inherit, they're not able to live on it. So one kid has to buy the other ones out, and then so they sell the conservation easement. That lasts for one generation, and what is the next generation going to do? There's no forethought, or instead of thinking that, you can think there's total forethought, because this is about collectivization.
Sure, and it has nothing to do with what's going to be good for individuals, what their individual rights are, what their property rights are, either. We are we're going to pop off here for 5 minutes, give everybody a break, let them get some coffee, listen to the news. We will be back with Rosa Corey talking about Agenda 21 and sustainable development and all sorts of other good stuff here on We the People at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
This is where we got to make a...
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR Shasta Redding. The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Redding Tea Party. Don't forget, go to reddingteaparty.com, click on the radio link, and everything you need to know about today's show, previous shows, and future shows is all there, including everything about our sponsors. So we're back with Rosa Corey. And Rosa, we were talking about, obviously, Agenda 21, and I wouldn't mind it if you gave another plug for your website when we resume, but also you were going to talk about social engineering and all the things that are happening that people are aware of, but they're not making the connection.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I will tell people that our website, we actually have three websites.
Great, tell us.
You can go to postsustainabilityinstitute.org. That's our 501c4 nonprofit. And then we also have Democrats Against UN Agenda21.com, and you'll find lots of great source information and a blog there with lots of information for you and what you can do. Because we don't want to just have you think that, hey, the sky's falling and we're just going to sit here while it cracks in pieces on top of us. There is a lot that you can do, and it's enjoyable, interesting, exciting, and a lot better than TV. So,
yeah, I don't think any of us in the Tea Party movement watch a lot of TV anymore. Nobody's got any time.
I am really thrilled that there are so many people who are willing to be active, and I do find that they are Tea Party people, and that is tremendous.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have to be active in order to keep your liberty.
And, you know, this morning I went to a redistricting meeting for our supervisors for Shasta County, and they're having these meetings every Thursday morning, and the only people that are attending from the general public are Tea Party people. Mm-hmm. Same faces.
And they're not all hardcore. I mean, you know, you've dealt enough with the Tea Party groups. They're not a bunch of hardcore right wing. They're not even all Republicans. I mean, you've got a really big variety of people who just want to be active and want to cut through the melee that is traditional politics and get to the info.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, part of one of the elements of social engineering is the takeover of your local groups. And I'm not just talking about government. I'm talking about small local groups, like, for instance, your neighborhood association. Now, my partner, Kay Tokarud, was elected as president of our 5,000 person, so it's a very large area of the town, 5,000 member neighborhood association. She was elected, and we did that. She did that because she wanted to give back to the community and participate. And this was while we were going through the lawsuit to stop the Gateways redevelopment project. And we don't live in that project. She didn't mention to, you know, while she was running that she was suing the city, because who cares if you're suing the city when you're running for a neighborhood association group? Oftentimes, in a good neighborhood association, you're oftentimes going to be facing off against the city anyway. So what happened there was that we found out that that was not just your garden variety neighborhood association, but in fact it had been founded by a guy who had retired from government service. He was with the United Nations. He was on the Security Council. He was a diplomat. Yeah, they created this neighborhood association, and in fact, this is an element of the social engineering of United Nations Agenda 21. They actually purposely go into communities and train them. They train facilitators to create neighborhood associations so that then they can say that they speak for the community.
Mm.
So you better wake up out there. Because
that's
there are people
scary.
Out there who are saying that they speak for you, and they have an agenda. They are paid lobbyists who do not divulge to you that they are paid. And the other person who was running this was the spokeswoman for the California Lung Association. And you think, well, California Lung Association, you know, so what? Well, if you go on their website, they are proponents of smart growth. They support Agenda 21, although they don't call it that, but they support sustainable development. They support getting you out of your car, getting you into a high-density urban development downtown. So these people absolutely came unglued when Kay got elected to the Neighborhood Association, and they literally attacked us. I thought they were going to burn a cross on our front lawn.
Wow.
I've never seen anything like this.
So it's not like all the small local non-government organizations just evolve over time. They've literally and systematically been infiltrated.
Yes, and they bounce back and forth. What you see is that with public-private partnerships, and this is a corporatocracy we're talking about, with public-private partnerships, you'll see people go from private life to public life and back and forth, and these are people also who get elected. They do trainings where they bring people out of community groups and train them so that they can run for office. They support them with money, and then you find them on your council, then they move to assembly, then they get up into the Senate and beyond. So what you need to do is find out where people are coming from and then look behind it. Look behind. If I had just stopped at the point where I saw that someone was with the Lung Association and not looked any further, I would never have known that the Lung Association is a huge lobbyist group for smart growth. Who would ever put that together?
And who's paying for it? When you say that they're all paid, now the money comes from, I'm sure, a multitude of sources, but in general, who's paying them?
Well, you get grants. The grants go back and forth. They're privately funded. They're publicly funded. They may apply for public grants, for federal grants, for local grants. They may apply for grants from small business, from large business, depending on, you know, it may be a union grant. You find a lot of, for instance, what you'll see now with the as you're well aware, part of sustainability, the sustainable development movement, is to reduce your energy usage. Now, am I against conserving? Absolutely not. Do I conserve? Yes, I do. Do you know that those bulbs that you're buying, those curly bulbs that you're buying, have mercury in them? And if you drop one, that's a hazardous situation that has to be removed.
Do you know what else is wrong with those? They do not work in easy-bake ovens. little girls in the future who want to bake things in easy bake ovens, who do not have real light bulbs available to them, will never be able to experience the easy bake oven.
Now that is so serious. I guess they're going to have to go out and learn how to drive trucks then.
Well, you know, dig holes or something. Well, they won't be able to do that. They won't be able to get the permits to move the earth.
They won't be able to get the permits.
And
you know, one of the things that happens with social engineering is that your neighborhood groups, for instance, I was talking about them, they work with, they're sweetheart groups that work with your government, and they use the Delphi technique, which you probably have heard of that by now.
Oh, tell people what that is. I've experienced it. I find it wholly objectionable.
And spell it.
Oh, you bet you have. And if I'll tell you, if you have gone to a meeting, a visioning meeting, if you've gone to a meeting where you were separated from people, from other people, you were set out in different tables, you got to put your little stars on some map.
And it looked like second grade.
Right. It was kind of a second grade thing. It was all about what do you like about the project and what do you want to see here. This is called the Delphi technique. This is manipulation of a group of people to manufacture consent. It directs you to an outcome that has already been predetermined. In other words, when you walk in that room, you're told that whatever happens by the end of the night is going to be because you made it happen. That is a lie. You're in there to give the illusion that this plan, this vision, this idea, whatever it is, came from the community. But in fact, it is being manipulated by a paid facilitator. And oftentimes you'll see this through a neighborhood association, through some some local group that, or some government agency that wants to create, like, let's say, a redevelopment project or something else. It's in your school board. It's in your at your church, your town council. This is not a left-right issue, by the way. None of this. None of what I'm talking about has anything to do with whether it's a left or a right issue.
Oh, we're so beyond that. It's a mindset issue. We have to take a quick break here, and we're going to come back with Rosa Corey and talk more about all this fun stuff. You got 2 minutes to listen to the advertisers and thank them for their patronage. We're here at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com. If you have a vehicle, a boat, or even a plane that needs to be transported, you need Miller Auto Transport. In the auto business for over 40 years, we take pride in the efficiency, the professionalism, and the safety of our transport teams. Unmatched by any other auto transport or carrier company in the nation, we transport to all 50 states and overseas. To find out more or to get a quote, visit our website at MillerAutoTransport.com.
Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. You know the drill, folks. You know where to go for all the info. So we're going to get right back to Rosa. So Rosa, you've been telling us about how our local non-government organizations, such as school boards and neighborhood organizations, are literally being infiltrated by Agenda 21 folks and using social engineering to kind of turn the tables on us. Can you paint any pictures for the average Joe out there that might notice something and not realize that it's amiss?
Sure. And, you know, this does sound, I know it sounds shocking, and it is shocking. I ain't making it up. So here we go.
No, because you back everything up. You said
I do.
So.
And unfortunately, I've had personal experience with all of this. So even if I wasn't sure about it, you know, even if I were just looking at it from an academic point of view, that would be one thing. But I have had personal experience with all of this and can prove everything that I'm saying. For instance, you might see in your neighborhood association, you'll have a group of people who draw up the bylaws of your neighborhood association so that you can't just say, hey, I want my neighbor to run for election now. I want my neighbor to stand for election. Well, no, they have to be vetted by the existing board. They can't just, you can't just elect someone. And that person is being reviewed first before they can even get onto a neighborhood association. Because from your neighborhood associations, you're being called a neighborhood leader. And from there, they can use, financial means to move you from there onto your town council. So your local little groups are now becoming way more important than they should be. And in this community, they created something called a neighborhood summit. And, you know, my shock is that Santa Rosa, I always think, oh, it's only happening in Santa Rosa, and then I switch to the national, go national and see what's happening, and I find that it's all over the United States. So these departments of neighborhoods are being created in local communities. They're being run by the government, and they say that they're interested in getting you to put your input into your community and to your government. But really what they're doing is they're looking for toadies. They're looking for people who are yes men, people who can be manipulated. They're looking for extremists. They're looking for people who are easily influenced by the government, so that those people will take positions within the community and begin to spread their indoctrination to the community. And you see that with the Delphi technique. And by the way, I do have a way to stymie the Delphi technique on my website, DemocratsAgainstUNAgenda21.com. If you go to the What Can I Do page and, you know, go down there, you'll go through that, you'll find a way to monkey wrench the tactics of the Delphi technique. But you're going to see, for instance, on your school board, people who would be, you don't know anything about these people. Half the time you vote and, you know, you just look at a name and you go, I like that person's name, I'm going to vote for them. But you're seeing in your schools now outcome-based education, which is a United Nations Agenda 21 Sustainable Development Plan that makes it so that you're not actually being taught information. You're being taught how to behave in a community. The point, the goal, is to create docile people who are willing to go along, who will go along to get along. People who are willing to, for instance, turn in their neighbors when they see their neighbor doing something like smoking on their balcony when they shouldn't be, or drinking a Coke when they shouldn't be drinking a sugared beverage, or driving somewhere when they ought to be riding a bicycle. And this kind of tactic, if you want to see what it's like to live in a communitarian community, besides looking at my community here in Santa Rosa and many others, take a look at China, or take a look at Nazi Germany, for instance, where they had a block leader or a block warden whose job was to, he had control over about 40 or 50 homes, and he had to know everything, all of your political attitudes, all of your knowledge, all of your what you were doing for a living, how you were living, who was living in your house. And you see that here in Sonoma County, for instance, with the Sonoma County Conservation Action Group, which is a political action group that trains community members. I don't know where they get their funding from, and that's an interesting thing, but they'll train people in the community. They want to know what your political point of view is so that they can come and talk to you during during a political season and try and convince you to change your point of view. So what we're seeing here, a lot of what we're seeing is secretive, fanatical lobbyists like the Bicycle Coalitions, who are the front shock troops for redevelopment and Agenda 21. You're seeing that if you don't fall into step with them, they're extremists. I'm not saying I ride a bike. I'm not saying that riding a bicycle is a bad thing. I'm saying that they appeal to a certain element of your community that is an extremist element. And it's very difficult to appeal to logic with people like that.
Well, because every time you do, it's just funny. Every time you try to use any kind of logic on any of that, you're a hater. You're a hater of some kind.
Yeah.
Just a matter of time before the hater thing comes out.
It's true. And so what we're talking about with this is, you know, hey, you're being conditioned all the time with your propaganda on, you know, with TV, with the winners and losers, with, you know, Survivor. Every single reality show is based on a winner and a loser. And nobody wants to be a loser. And so if you don't know how to play ball, if you can't just be a yes man for some of these groups, you're not going to move forward. You won't get those contracts. You're not going to get your parcel developed. You won't get your building developed, your plans approved. And so we're going to see things in your community like, for instance, here, the chair of the Board of Supervisors, Valerie Brown, Sonoma County Board of Supervisors, so it's 500,000 people in this community. She's on the national board of ICLEI, International Council of Local Environmental Initiatives. She's on the national board. Now, what does that mean? When Jerry Brown was going to end redevelopment, you would have thought Valerie Brown would jump up and down with glee because that would have meant that more money would have gone to the county. But instead, she attacked it. Why? Because ICLEI does not want its funding arm, redevelopment, to end. So who is Valerie Brown representing? Who are your representatives? We have a representative democracy. Who are our representatives representing? Are they representing ICLEI, which has 600 members in the United States and hundreds more throughout the world, or are they representing you as an individual?
Well, if they're not representing individual rights,
mm-hmm.
I guess the answer is pretty clear. And see, you're like a pressure cooker of our county. When you gave the statistics of your population there, 177,000, that's the population of our entire county.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if we crammed all the people in this county into one city, we'd be looking at what you guys are doing. We're spread out, so they don't get the foothold up here exactly. They're more focused on sending the agencies in and driving people off their ground.
Right, because they want you all in a single location. You know, if I can put 500 people into a single building, I only need one key. One lock, and you're all locked in there.
Yeah.
If I've got people who don't, if I move you off of your rural land into your city, wherever your city might be, and I put you all into a single building or a single street, and I take your private car away from you by jacking your gas prices up to $7 a gallon and make it so that you can only go where the bus goes or the train, if we ever get that train, goes, your rights are restricted.
Right.
Your mobility is restricted.
So
your
freedom. What do you say to the people? Because, I mean, we don't get a lot of pushback from anybody but the Democratic coalitions up here. What do you say to these people when they tell you that that's just craziness, that's just what's good for the earth?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we're part of the whole fabric of the universe, of the world, of the planet, of our nation. We are part of that. And we have improved our environmental our environmental footprint on this planet in the United States. I mean, you know, you can remember throwing pop bottles out of your car window. I've heard people say that they used to do that. We don't do that anymore. We have cleaned up our energy. We have cleaned up our industry. We are learning and getting better through technology all the time. And so I have been told to my face here in Sonoma County that even if all cars were non-polluting electric vehicles or some other type of non-polluting vehicle, that it's antisocial to be in a single vehicle, and that the point is to have as many people under surveillance as possible. And this is not some kind of a crazy idea that I have. Hey, go take a plane flight anywhere right now. If you haven't flown lately, you're going to have a shock. Because right now, if you fly out of this country and come in through customs, you'll see that they're setting up now fingerprint identification modules at every single customs officer position, along with retinal scans. Those are at every single customs officer right now. We are
all in the name of keeping us safe while the borders are wide open.
I.e.
the Patriot Act.
Yes, you are being terrorized. The war on terror is a war on you, and this is part of United Nations Agenda 21 Sustainable Development. And people who are on the left, like I am, people who are call themselves liberals, are allowing themselves to be manipulated because they don't want to. You know, you're being told, if you criticize this, it's like you've suggested drilling for oil in your grandma's living room.
You're basically, and not to be using a derogatory term, but these folks are technically useful idiots.
They're what?
Useful idiots.
Useful idiots are on all ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
And I agree. You know, I mean, I would say that... It's interesting that people in the Tea Party, you know, these are, I've been speaking on radio shows and two Tea Party groups, you know, many Tea Party groups, and getting response from across the nation from people in the Tea Party. And I have to say that this is a pretty fabulous thing when people are willing to step up and accept criticism. People who can say, okay, we know that it's not like, you know, George Bush was, you know, just because he's a Republican, he's great. Or
yeah, when you get on the George Bush thing. Hold on, and let's take a quick commercial. Thank our advertisers. We'll be right back with you for more on KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Something new for all gun owners and sportsmen. All-Temp Tactical Lube. It's like nothing you've ever used before. It works on all firearms, pistols, rifles, antique weapons, you name it. Reduces friction, carbon buildup, prevents rust. The first true leap forward in the evolution of firearm care. All-Temp Tactical Lube actually goes into the pores of the metal. Check us out on the web, alltemptacticallube.com. 1-800-301-0046. 1-800-301-0046.
You're listening to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. We're coming up on our last half an hour. You know where to go for all the info. ReadingTeaParty.com. Click on radio. So we're back with Rosa. And Rosa, you're going to touch a little bit on everybody's...
George Bush.
Yeah, I was going to say everybody's misconceptions about George Bush on the conservative side. Go for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want... You know, first of all, I did say I'm a Democrat. I am not an Obama supporter.
Yay! Okay, I had to say it. But were you at the beginning? Yeah, were you at the beginning? Did you?
No.
No, okay.
No, I never was.
Okay.
Sorry, but I just didn't for it. Well, I know, I've researched Obama, and, you know, I wanted to know how someone could, you know, have such a meteoric rise. There is really something to be said for the University of Chicago. In fact, Chicago is a huge hotbed. If you do any research into Chicago and Leo Strauss, who was the sort of the brain of the neocons and the project for the New American Century comes out of Chicago. I really am what I say that I am. I really am a liberal. I really have voted Democrat for many years, although I pretty much stopped voting at this point. I haven't seen anyone that I could vote for quite a while. I think it's important that we recognize that this is not a left-right issue, that your people up at the top are all being supported financially by the huge corporatocracy, the huge media control. The media is not controlled by the left wing. It's not controlled by the right wing. It's controlled by those who control, who want to control you. And at one they'll swing you back and forth like a pendulum. At one point, they'll be, you think things are going your way, and at the next point, they're not. And this is all a manipulation. It's called the Hegelian dialectic, and it's the heart of communitarianism. And when you understand that, you're less fooled by these cults of personality. They're fairly irrelevant. These people are actors. So, you know, basically what you're seeing with Agenda 21 Sustainable Development is that the affluence of Americans is a major world problem that has to be corrected. And so that means no meat eating. That means, and when you get off your rural lands, that's you and all the farmers who have animals. Okay, animals, their poop creates methane, right? Methane gas is a greenhouse gas. greenhouse gases. You're supposed to reduce your energy usage by varying amounts, some as much as 30% below 1990 levels by the year 2015. That's 4 years from now. And a lot of communities don't even know what year they'd be going back to if they did cut their, you know, in other words, if you cut your energy usage by 25%, you know, at what year were you 25% below your energy usage in 1990? You know, was it 1978? What's, you know, in other words, people are talking about changing the method and means of production for our nation, and we're more and more dependent. This is a loss of independence, and I don't mean necessarily as a nation, I mean as individuals. We have more and more dependence for food production, less to say about what's in our food, because when there's less being produced, there's less availability, the cost is higher. And when you're being told that you can have a neighborhood, you know, a neighborhood garden or a garden in your, on your own land, if your water usage is restricted and your well is monitored, then you're not going to be growing your own food. You won't be able to afford to. So this is a whole life plan. It's an educational system plan. It involves the energy market, the transportation system, the governmental system, the healthcare system, food production. It's all about restricting your choices, your independence, and your freedom and your liberty. And this goes beyond parties. Parties yeah. are irrelevant.
You know, I have someone in my family, extended family, that works for an organization called the Keystone Center in Keystone, Colorado, and they also have offices in Washington, D.C. This is a nonprofit group. Basically, they promote green largely on their website, and what they do is they travel around the country setting up meetings between public and private entities mm-hmm. to come to an agreement on, you know, whatever particular issue might be on the table. They cover the healthcare industry, they cover energy, so mm-hmm. on and so forth, under the guise of mediation. Well, it's interesting because you look at their board of trustees, and, well, for instance, number three on their board of trustees is Monsanto. And the other board of trustees are PG&E and General mm-hmm. Electric and so on and so on. The majority of the corporate entities on that board of trustees are health, energy, and food.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yes, you'll see that. It's not, and you know, there are many, many different groups like that. You know, tremendously large numbers of them. You'd be stunned yeah. at how many of them are. And they're all, you know, these large corporations are funding many, many groups coming right down into the community. For instance, you might find Halliburton in a small community like this. You might find the Carlyle Group down into a community like this. And, you know, they might have front groups. They might sponsor trainings. They might sponsor local governmental initiatives. And so your freedom, your individual freedom, is really restricted because there you think that these things are coming sort of grassroots out of your community. But, in fact, they're being dictated to from beyond your community and, in fact, from, you know, maybe global corporations. That's, you know, that's globalization right there. WTO, you know, when the nation was started, they didn't have a need for income tax because there were tariffs on products that came into the United States from elsewhere. And now with WTO and globalization, there are no restrictions, so that drives down your ability to survive and makes it so that if you want inexpensive goods, you can't produce them in your own country and keep your standard of living.
Well, that's kind of what we're looking at. So what we find here is that a lot of times our the big panic is comes from the unions. That mm-hmm. that if we're looking at a charter city here locally, looking at options for that, and their big deal is that if we were to make any changes in the use of prevailing wage on the municipal jobs, that it's just a race to the bottom, you know, just the entire economy here locally will crash.
Mm-hmm.
And so lots of fear on every level. It's just cover our, you know,
cover our guys, and we don't care what happens to anybody else.
And, you know, it's interesting because the union issue is a really big one and very legitimate fiscally, but I sometimes wonder if it isn't a bit of a distraction from other things.
They just they just seem to be tangled up in all of it. Every time you turn around, they're in the middle of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I personally was a union member for more than 20 years myself, and what I see with the unions, now I'm not talking about union members.
Sure.
I'm talking about
right.
the union as it's run, because union members, you pay your dues, they come out of your check every week or month or whatever, and you don't, you very seldom are going and finding out where that money goes.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I guarantee you that nearly every single union member does not know where their money goes. And what you're seeing is people who are being elected with union money. Union dues are being used to elect officials who are, the union itself is a huge organization, and I think there's a lot of corruption in the unions, and people need to clean up the unions themselves. If you're a union member, you need to go down to your union hall and find out where that money is going and who's benefiting from it.
And there are great organizations that will help redirect those dues, and they'll do the legwork for you. Pacific Justice Institute will negotiate with someone's union at no charge to them to get those dues to go where they want them to go.
You literally can redirect them to a charity of your choice.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't
know
that.
You do need to research those charities too.
Sure,
I know about the Pacific.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to research your charities because you know these. There's a I'm in touch with people all over the world who contact me regarding my website, and there's a charity called Common Purpose in England that is just stunning. It's it is an Agenda 21, United Nations Agenda 21 Sustainable Development group that actually you know gets people elected with their with their money, and it's really kind of a horrific group when you look behind the curtain. And as a matter of fact, we're putting on a conference this summer. It's August 6th here in Santa Rosa, California, called Behind the Green Mask. And we're going to have a lot of great speakers and a lot of really important topics like for instance, how to recognize UN Agenda 21, how to recognize communitarianism, how to fight it, how to engage the community, how to come together and discuss these issues and understand what's happening so that you're not a victim, so that you can take back your power on this, because people are feeling a lot of people are feeling kind of hopeless about it. And it's very important to know that we do have a lot that we can do. For instance, you can refuse smart meters.
I was just looking at that.
Yeah, we've tackled that.
Well, that's
one.
How we found you.
Mm-hmm.
We found you through the smart meter network.
You can refuse to buy a vehicle that has an OnStar connection so that your truck or car can be shut off from Sacramento. You don't want that. You don't want your anything to be able to be remotely shut off. You don't want your electricity and your gas to be remotely turn-offable. And you don't want your car to be shut off from Sacramento. You want to know how your what kind of impacts the erosion of property rights is having on you. And, you know, you just generally need to know all of these aspects, and they're all connected. It's almost like it's not what is UN Agenda 21 Sustainable Development. It's what isn't.
Yeah.
Because so much is connected with it now.
And the bad part is when people start asking their local elected officials, most of them don't know about it. When you start asking people at the national level, they do their research and they look at the Congressional Research Service, who tells them that it's not a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they walk away going, well, I guess it is just sort of a... I mean, you have to really connect the dots for folks. We need to take a two-minute break here. We're going to come right back with the last 15 minutes with Rosa Corey. And for those of you who are interested in info about that conference, it is on the website, so don't panic. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Something new for all gun owners and sportsmen. All Temp Tactical Lube. It's like nothing you've ever used before. It works on all firearms, pistols, rifles, and antique weapons. It reduces friction, carbon buildup, and prevents rust. A true leap forward in the evolution of firearms care. AllTemp Tactical Lube actually goes into the pores of the metal. Check us out on the web, alltemptacticallube.com. 1-800-301-0046. 800-301-0046.
Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. We're in our last quarter hour, so we won't mince words. We'll get right back to Rosa Corey. So, Rosa, what can real live, real-time, everyday people out there do?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because there is an awful lot that you can do to fight United Nations Agenda 21 Sustainable Development. Right now, what you're doing right now is really great. You're listening. You're thinking. You're educating yourself. You're going to take a look at my website and then go to the source page on my site, and there's a lot of great information there. You know, take the time. Educate yourself. The more you know, the more confident you are, the better you'll be at enlisting others to work with you on this. And you aren't going to find a leader. You need to look in the mirror and be that leader yourself, because you really are part of a huge international grassroots program. A huge number of people are out there all trying to, you know, we're all stretching hands out to each other. And, you know, the more of us that are in between, the more fingers that we can touch, the better connection we have, and the more people who are going to be able to work on this. So one of the things you want to do is, you might get the San Francisco Chronicle, you might get the New York Times. Make sure you take your local newspaper and start reading it with your eyes open. You want to look at articles about redevelopment projects, bike boulevards, neighborhood summits, neighborhood elections, revitalization projects, visioning, local boards, smart growth, low-income housing subsidies, transportation grants, green building retrofit programs. All this is on my site. You want to read that stuff with your eyes open and recognize that this is a United Nations Agenda 21 plan. You want to ask questions. If you read about a group that's advocating for smart growth, take a look at who's in that group. Who is building that development in the center of your town and trying to get you to move into it? Is there money from your government that's going into that construction? Who's running your neighborhood association? You might not feel like going down to that neighborhood association. Go and take a look. That COPE program, that community preparedness for emergency program, what is that about? Is that about finding out everybody who lives in your house and how much water everybody has and who's got the food? Or is that about control and manipulation? If you own a ranch, or you've got some land, or you're trying to develop something and you're getting messed over by your government, go down to the Planning Commission meeting every single time. Take your business card, and when other people there are getting their rights taken away, make common cause with them. Don't be concerned that they might be Democrats or Republicans or Libertarians or whatever it is, or gay or whatever. It's irrelevant. Get beyond these minor things. And I say minor, even though, you know, believe me, for a gay liberal person, it's not always easy to be hanging out with people who might think I'm going to go to hell. But this is irrelevant to me.
And Rosa, that's why the Tea Party movement sticks to three core values: being fiscally conservative, limited government, adherence to the Constitution. If you get caught up in the social issues, you get derailed.
And that's communitarianism, by the way, because saying that, you know, if you want to control what someone does privately, then you are involved in imposing the community's values on an individual. And I don't say that anyone shouldn't be attending whatever church they wish or having whatever beliefs they want, but those beliefs should stop at your person. This is part of, you know, our rights as individuals under the Constitution. That was life, liberty, and property initially, and you are the most important property that you own, your own body. That body of yours is your property. So anyway, I don't want to get bogged down with that. I want to encourage people to join with each other, to, you know, to go to city council meetings. Don't get, they will try to subvert you. They'll try to flatter you and put you on some kind of a city board if you're too vocal.
I'm on one.
They want to shut you up.
I'm on one now.
Yeah, they want you on their side rather than against you.
Yeah, and then you're not, you don't want to lose your board position, so you're not going to criticize them. That's a perfect way to shut people up. They give them a position,
that
or they give
that
you
that doesn't
an
work
award.
Very well for us. We just keep them.
Yeah, when they see the enemy and bring them in.
We take the position and we just keep talking.
It's good. That's great. You've got to be tough. You know, you have to have some cojones there. Right? You can host a movie night. You know, you can go and get a, there's some great movies on the internet.
Yeah, we do that,
you know,
already.
Regarding,
mm-hmm. We do that.
Do
it's
that.
Great.
You know, things like that. And, you know, and also, don't be afraid to change your point of view. Always keep your mind open. And if you're getting information that's confusing to you, or, you know, that you're not sure about, do some research on it. And you can start your own blog. It's very easy. It's free. You can go on your local newspapers. Have a lot of times you can make comments, and you can do it anonymously if you want. Start becoming more engaged. And I know that a lot of your listeners are very engaged. A lot of what happens with us is we get burnout, we get stretched too thin. But do what you can. And the more that you do, the more satisfied you'll feel that you really are making connection with other people and getting the word out.
And we all started off innocently enough with a concern. We walked into these things without a lot of knowledge, and so for those that feel intimidated by attending local meetings, it doesn't take long to figure out what's going on, and honestly they become addictive. Once you've gone to a few meetings, it's really hard to stay away because you do catch on very, very quickly.
It's true. And the more you know, then you, hey, then, you know, imagine that feeling when you go to vote and you know who every single one of those people is on the ballot. And you know about them, you know deeply about them because
right.
You've listened to them week after week and you say, oh, there is no way I'm voting for that guy. And, or, you know, or this is a person I really want to support. And that's, you know, being an informed citizen, that's our duty. This is our duty as
Americans.
I don't
think people realize how easy it is to do that. They think they need to know a lot and they've got to spend tons of time. And, you know, honestly, if they just go and listen, all of a sudden you start noticing the same people at city council speak. There are patterns. They sit in the same places. You look at who they sit with. You know, what do they think? Who do they pal with? What organization are they part of? You can learn a ton just by watching the room. You don't have to be a genius about the topics that are there. You just watch the people. You watch how they interact. You look who's chatting out front after the meeting. You look at who meets up ahead of time.
That's all you got to do.
It's very enlightening and showing up. We've really stressed that from the beginning that showing up, a lot of times people feel that isn't enough because they're not seeing tangible results from that. But showing up is
everything.
Because the people who don't want us to gather together, when they see us having, we got some pushback because on tax day, we don't celebrate tax day. We didn't, you know, most of the folks in our group are just like, you know, we don't want to commemorate tax day. But it was our meeting night. It was a Monday. And so we thought, hey, let's have a barbecue and wave some flags on the side of the road. And then we decided to watch a movie. We watched The Out-of-Towners with Goldie Hawn and Steve Martin. We decided to take a complete break from all the mayhem.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we actually got some grief about that. People were like, well, you know, you guys could have been a lot more powerful if you would have sent a better message.
Mm-hmm.
So there's tons of criticism out there, and people just have to stay the course.
Right.
It was a long game.
One of the a really good, you know, as far as going to meetings goes, going to your planning commission meetings is a very powerful thing to do. And familiarizing yourself with who is getting those, who's getting their stuff built in your town and who isn't. That's a real one to watch. And then go and hang out with the people who aren't getting their stuff built and see what they have to say. And you'll find many more people who will come over to your point of view when they recognize that there is a whole plan behind it. Because each one of us thinks that, you know, people go and they try and get their permits as individuals and spread out and they, you know, maybe show up that one day. What that one thing that you're going to find out when you start going to meetings is there's a pattern of behavior. There is, and you'll start to see, you know, your elected official may say that they don't know anything about Agenda 21 Sustainable Development, but like I said, 111 cities in California and 11 counties, at least 11 counties, are members of ICLEI. They pay dues, and they also give contracts to ICLEI to design their planning documents. So, and they're consultants. ICLEI is a consultant and gets money from your city and county. So they're lying to you when they tell you they don't know what you're talking about. And the less people, you know, the more of us who are aware of this, the less they're going to be able to lie to you about what they know and what they don't know. And, so part of what you're going to do is you're going to go down there to your city council meeting and you're going to say, hey, we want out of ICLEI. And one other thing I want to say, too, is that across the nation, your city council meetings have been, even though they're shown on your public television station, they are no longer showing public comments. That's that time at the end or beginning of the meeting where you get up and talk for 3 minutes about whatever you want.
Yeah.
They're not broadcasting that anymore.
Really?
Around the country. And this is something we need to all stand up and say no. We don't want that. We want our voices heard. That is because, you know, if you don't get your voice recorded, there's no record of it. And I sued the city of Santa Rosa, and I was able to do that because I had completely documented everything that I said. I exhausted administrative remedies. But if you don't have any recording of what you said, and they're at action minutes, so they don't write down what you say when you go to council, there's no record. So you need all of that on record, and you have to go and demand that your council reinstate the entire council meeting on at your media center.
We need to go look because we're usually there, so we don't think about watching it afterwards.
Mm-hmm. You have to watch it and see, because often most of them are now, this is nationwide, I was stunned, nationwide they have discontinued airing your public comments. So that's your opportunity, you know, if you can't do it then try and work it into any other topic that they're talking about.
That's
anything that
awesome.
Comes up.
Okay, mm-hmm. we've got about 30 seconds. Final thought?
Well, I hope people are going to get active if you're not active already, and let's get together and let's fight United Nations Agenda 21 Sustainable Development, and come down to our conference this summer, August 6th in Santa Rosa, the Behind the Green Mask Conference.
I think that's a great title, too. We're going to make
sure
that's
that really good.
People get all that information. You go to readingteaparty.com, click on radio if you haven't already. This will be up on that page, and I thought a great title for us would be Redevelopment and Agenda 21, so people would see both of those on there. So
and the connection.
That's what to watch for. We'll catch
terrific.
You. Thanks, Rosa.
Bye.
We'll catch everybody next
thank
week.
You're awesome.
At KCNR, 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR Shasta Redding.